Welcome back to That 590 Show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the former NFL player, scout, and agent. He is the current director of the Elite Football Academy in Chesterfield. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Bridge. Mark, how are you, sir?
Good, Berger. What's up, buddy?
Well, we're 1 week removed from the first round of the draft where 32 players turned in their amateur status and have announced to go pro. Now that you've had a week to kind of think about it and see all the reactions, who do you think made the best haul in the draft, and who do you think did the worst job?
Well, I mean, I'm still not really sold on what the Bears did. I mean, I guess if you believe that was the move to make and you had to get him, you know, you give up all those picks to go up and get Mr. Bucci. But I'm just not a – I don't know. I just didn't think they had overall – they had a lot of other needs that they were looking at, and they don't think they hit that at all. I think another team that did horrible, and I'm not just saying it because they left this city, but I thought the Los Angeles Rams, I thought that was an average draft at best. When you're drafting guys that most people don't know, either you're either trying to outthink everybody else or you think you're, you know, special, and not, yeah. They're not in either way.
Every single one of their draft picks are players I've never heard of.
Yeah, I mean, except for Kupp, who's, you know, actually had a lot of production against Pac-12 teams. You know, I just didn't, and he did have a nice Senior Bowl. Besides that, a lot of those other guys just I thought were reaches. So it was, you know, I do like the fact that the Redskins, I think they had a nice draft, especially with the turbulent offseason and firing, you know, Scott McLuhan. I thought to get Jonathan Allen where they did was a steal of the draft. So yeah, I think, and I'm a big fan of what the Chiefs have done. I thought I like Pat Mahomes. You know, they think that, you know, John Dorsey and Andy Reid were both around Brett Favre, and they both thought he was a smarter, tougher version, or comparable to Brett Favre. So I'll take their word on it. And, you know, I think they got a steal in the third round with Kareem Hunt. He was one of my favorite backs in this draft. And then, you know, a local kid, Jehu Chesson, you know, here from getting in the fourth round. I think that he'll have a legit shot to help that offense. And, you know, he's got a great mentor over there in Jeremy Maclin, another St. Louis kid. So I thought those teams are teams that just off the top of my head, you know, kind of stand out to who had good and who had poor drafts.
And you brought up the Bears earlier. I heard that Mike Glennon was invited to a draft party, and he had no idea that the Bears were going to draft Mitch Trubisky. So he's standing there at this draft party, and then, the team just drafted what they think is going to be your replacement.
Yeah, I mean, I think John Fox is a good coach. I think that, you know, Ryan Pace is trying to make moves that he thinks are going to help the franchise. You know, I think he made a good one last year when they got rid of Matt Forte. And, you know, then replaced him with Jordan Howard. I mean, that paid off huge dividends for him.
Yes, it did.
You know, now it's almost like he's overthinking this a little bit and chasing shadows a little bit. So I think it was an interesting move. Now, again, this goes back to if it pays off, this kid ends up being, you know, a star and being a Pro Bowler, we'll all sit there and eat crow and say, oh, you know, he's better than all of us. But it's tough for me with his track record. The kid's got 13 starts in his career. Couldn't beat out a guy for 2 years that's on the street. Career numbers in college rival that of Mark Sanchez. I just don't know. And it's not like the Bears are sitting there stacked with a great defense. I mean, they got good players, but, you know, they're not loaded. I think they didn't go out and make a lot of moves. It's not like their receivers are world breakers. You know, I just think, except for, you know, Jordan Howard, they don't have a lot of great, you know, playmakers on that offense. Yeah. I don't know if
Alshon Jeffrey's now in Philadelphia.
Right. I mean, they're counting on Kevin White, who's, you know, was a bust his rookie year and didn't do much last year. I think, you know, they're, you know, Kyle Long's hurt. They do have a solid offensive line. I really like, you know, Cody Whitehair up there at center and Josh Sitton. But again, you know, Kyle Long won't be ready this offseason, you know, coming off an ankle surgery. So I don't know, you know, where they get their offensive production except in the running back position. I think they had more needs of depth that they should have went out and got and replaced instead of giving away all those picks to get a quarterback that might not play for a year or two.
Mark Littlebridge joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Bridge. During the College Bowl season, there was a pretty healthy national discussion around what Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, and to a certain extent, Jabril Peppers did in sitting out their bowl game, citing that, Peppers said that he was injured, but McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette both said, yeah, you know what, I got an NFL future to think about. I'm not playing in a meaningless bowl game. But one player who did decide that he was going to play in that meaningless bowl game was Jake Butt. Jake Butt ended up getting hurt in that game. He was projected to be at least a first or second round pick, but fell all the way down to the fifth round. Fournette and McCaffrey sit out those games, and they both go in the top 10. You used to be an agent. Was that the same advice that you would give your clients to be like, hey, don't be playing in this meaningless bowl game and run the risk of getting hurt and costing yourself millions?
Yeah, I think in those bowl games that weren't, if you're fighting for maybe a top, you know, a chance to in the top four, or you're, you know, in one of those teams.
Well, playoff game, yeah, that's totally different. But I mean, if you're just playing for, I think Michigan, weren't they in the Orange Bowl? And I'm not sure what bowl game Stanford had. It probably wasn't a very big one, considering their season was, you know, slightly disappointing. But I mean, unless you're going to be playing in one of the playoff games, I'm kind of with the players on that one.
Yeah, I would agree. And as an agent, I would, of course, always side with the player. You know, as a former scout, you'd like to see those guys do it. But at the same point, you understand that, you know, it's no different than a guy that got hurt maybe in the two games away from the end, and wasn't ready for the bowl game. Or it's not any different than a kid that's a Division II and his season's over in November, and so he has that time to train. I don't have any problem with it at all, and it's not like those guys weren't going to go first round. You know, they could use that time to, you know, Fournette had issues and he could say he was hurt. You know, even Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he saw what his father's done, and they say that McCaffrey is one of the most competitive guys out there, and he had landed in a phenomenal spot in Carolina. I think he's going to have a chance, you know, to compete probably maybe with Devin Cook to be the rookie of the year. So I have no problem with it. I really don't, even from really all sides of it. It's as long as it doesn't become, you know, if you're sitting there but you get a guy like Linwood Shock, you know, whatever his name is from, or Shock Linwood, whatever, from Baylor, who sat out the game, and he doesn't even get drafted.
Yeah, then look stupid.
Now you got a little bit of an epidemic. So you just got to be, I guess, be smart with it, and hopefully take sage advice from, if you have an agent or from your coaches, you know what to do.
Well, and you use the word there, epidemic. So do you think this is going to grow into one? Are we going to see more and more of this as the years come?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see it. It won't surprise me next year if you got, you know, five or six guys that do it. If they're in a meaningless bowl game, and again, bowl games are for fans and for the coaches to have extra practices for their next year's class. It really doesn't do much. No guy has really raised his stock, you know, in the draft. Maybe three or four picks, if you're definitely not rounds, from having a great bowl game. I mean, either your grade should already be in the system. You know, bowl games are more just for the swag and for, you know, get a good vacation.
Yeah, but I would say that.
And I think you'll see a lot more people bagging out of them.
You don't think, like, though, that Deshaun Watson and Mike Williams, you don't think they increase their draft status by having that tremendous title game against Alabama?
Well, yeah, but I think that's what you're playing in the playoff games. I think
sure.
If you're playing for games that matter and you're winning championships, sure, that I think, of course you do that.
But if it's the poinsettable, then it's something different.
Deshaun Watson is a first rounder if he plays in that game or not. Now, I think it added to his aura. I think it added to the fact that he is a champion. He willed his team to win. And I do think that does it. Mike Williams, if he doesn't play in that game or he does play in that game, Mike Williams is still a first-round receiver. So I don't think it shouldn't. If you're grading the right way, it shouldn't do it. Because, I mean, what bowl game did Mitch Trubisky play in? And he went second overall. So
yeah.
That doesn't make a difference in my mind.
Do you think Watson is going to start right away for Houston, or do you think that they're going to maybe go with Tom Savage? I heard that Jay Cutler said that he's basically thinking he's leaning towards retirement, and that he's already kind of auditioning for Fox to be one of their broadcasters. I think if I'm Houston, and I know that they said that they had no interest in Jay Cutler, but if you look at that team, not that Jay Cutler's fantastic, but if they add Jay Cutler, he's got to be the best quarterback on that roster. If I'm the Houston Texans, I think I make a run at Jay Cutler and see what he can do with that talent.
You know, now remember, though, this team was the team that won the AFC South. And so that was without J.J. Watt. So I think you know, they've added some other pieces this offseason. They still have a legit running back. And Lamar Miller, I think you're okay. It kind of fits what Kaiser does. Kaiser doesn't have a big arm. You know,
Give me Watson.
One of the slowest, you know, I think he had one of the slowest, and Rocky, I think we talked about this, he had one of the slowest, time throws at the combine. And so, you know, he's a dink and dunk guy. He's not, his accuracy isn't great, but he's good in the pocket. He's a great leader. He breeds confidence in the guys he has around him. And I think everybody's kind of made that same comparison of the Dak Prescott comparison. I'm not going to put that on the kid, but the guy is a proven winner, and he knows how to lead teams. I think he'd be a perfect fit for what you're doing. And the one thing is, Bill O'Brien is supposed to be this quarterback whisperer, just like John Gruden was supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. I mean, he's wore out a lot of quarterbacks.
Yes, he has.
And so you got to have some cojones, and you got to be able to handle the beat down. I don't know if Jay Cutler has that, and I don't know if Jay Cutler would put up with that. And so I think it's one of those situations where, you know, Watson's young enough, and I think he gets it. I mean, he's had a pretty obnoxious coach in Dabo Sweeney as well. I think he could take that hard coach, and I would go with Watson and just, you know, let the, you know, put him in situations where he's only got to read half the field, you know, give him throws that he could make, give the ball to Lamar Miller, you know, get it out quickly to Will Fuller and Nuke Hopkins, let them, you know, make moves in space and see what you got.
All right, Bridge, we got a couple minutes left. It seems like you want to talk about DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, you know what? I do. I think that's a good pick for the Browns. I thought the Browns, for what they needed and where they're going, I thought they had a pretty solid draft.
I did, too.
This isn't an overnight fix. The Cleveland Browns aren't competing for a playoff game, or, you know, they're going to be a playoff team this year. So what they're trying to build for is 2018, 2000, maybe even not 18, 19 and 20. I think you get Kizer, who's a local kid, a Toledo kid. You bring him back home. You know, and I'm not, again, I won't, I hate to, you know, make comparisons or whatever, but could you imagine a local kid a la LeBron James bringing a championship back to Cleveland?
They would go
nuts.
It would
be great for a
yes.
guy like DeShone Kizer
it
to,
really would be.
To break that cycle and bring a championship. You know, I thought they did a great job of adding pieces to their defense. I thought they added the tight end, Njoku or whatever.
From Miami. Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to be an added benefit to that offense. You know, there are a lot of pieces away. I thought they did some nice things in the offseason to add some pieces, but this isn't a team that you're sitting there going to say, oh man, if they go 6-10 this year, 7-9, you're gonna be like, yes, it's going to be the hope that the Cleveland Brown fans want. And I think Kizer could be that guy. It bothers me that he got benched at Notre Dame, but at the same point, there's a lot of pressure there, and I don't think he'll have as much pressure at Cleveland as he would in Notre Dame, because I don't think they expect a lot out of him.
Yeah, and Hugh Jackson,
so
I think is on
there and have a good run.
And Hugh Jackson's on record saying that, hey, right now he's not projected to be the week one starter. He's not even projected to be the week one starter in 2018. So the plan is to bring him along really slowly, and I think that's probably the right approach.
Wouldn't it be fun? I still said this, and I was joking with somebody the other day. Wouldn't it be great if Brock Osweiler just went up there and tore it up? And he's still on the roster. They haven't done anything with him.
That's true.
He just, like, tore up the preseason and just he'd become the guy. And now they look like geniuses because they, you know, they were able to pick up this guy and you know, help lead them to, you know, a bunch of wins. I think that'd be perfect Cleveland byline of what the NFL is all about.
Bridge, speaking of the quarterbacks, I think we've seen potentially here the return of redshirting first-round quarterbacks, putting them behind veterans and letting them grow from there. First of all, do you think these guys will actually be sit for a year, maybe a year plus? And two, do you think that strategy can work in the NFL?
Well, I think in every case, almost all these guys except for Watson are put in a position where they could sit behind a legit guy that's, you know, better. I mean, Alex Smith doesn't, you know, Pat Mahomes doesn't need to go in and play for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a playoff caliber team. You're sitting there talking about, you know, you could sit if you really needed to. Not that they have a bunch of stud quarterbacks in Cleveland, but you could sit a Kizer. You can sit a Trubisky because you got Glennon. So, I mean, all these quarterbacks, you know, even Beathard, you know, out there, they reach for, I thought, the San Francisco 49ers reach for Beathard. You know, they have the luxury of being able to say, hey, we got veteran guys on our roster. We can go out here and play and sit them. I don't mind throwing them out there. You know, if you're still one of those teams building for something, I think you go take live reps because that's the only way you're going to get better is in game action. And so, you know, if they decide to sit them, I understand that plan, but I wouldn't do it unless you got, you know, unless you're the Alex Smiths of the world, you got proven starters, you know, Pro Bowl type guys, then it's okay.
Mark Littlebridge joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Bridge, and ladies, feel free to follow him in real life. Bridge, thanks for your input, as always, my friend, and have a great weekend. Enjoy your Cinco tomorrow.
Hey, good job, 590. Let's go. Good job, the 590 show. I like it.
All right.
Good job, boys.
Thanks, Bridge. That is Mark Littlebridge, former NFL player, scout, and agent, and current director of the Elite Academy in Chesterfield, Elite Football Academy. Let's take a commercial break. Coming back, I want to talk about the Lonzo Ball shoe and how ridiculous this whole thing is. Final segment of the night coming up next on That 590 Show, right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.